From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. About one in four Illinoisans rely on Medicaid, the federally and state-funded program that provides health coverage for people who are poor or have disabilities. It covers people at all stages of life. Nearly 40% of births in Illinois are covered by Medicaid, and two-thirds of nursing home residents are on the program. But some of that could soon change, depending on what Republicans in Congress do about the federal budget. They are eyeing reducing taxes, and one of the ways they could help pay for that is through significant cuts to Medicaid. Here in Illinois, people are raising the alarm about what that could mean. Here's Governor J.B. Pritzker last week.
But it's also a broader economic issue. Illinois hospitals and our healthcare systems and supports provide jobs for 445,000 people, and they anchor many rural communities. Hospitals will close. People will lose their jobs. And if Medicaid is cut, no state in the country has the money to backfill the billions of dollars in funding. It will be gone, and the consequences will be devastating. People will be stripped of life-saving care. People will die. And blood will be on the hands of the Trump-Vance administration and the Republicans in Congress.
Joining me to talk through all of this is Judy Crown, a contributing reporter for Crane's Chicago Business. She recently had a cover story on this. Judy, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Nadine Israel, Senior Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for AIDS Foundation Chicago. Nadine, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And finally, Wesley Eplin is the Policy Director for Health and Medicine Policy Research Group. He had an op-ed in Crane's Chicago Business advocating against cuts to Medicaid. Wesley, welcome to you as well.
Hi, good morning. Good to be with you.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. We'll be on this topic for about the next half hour or so. Do you have concerns about Medicaid? How could changes to that affect your situation? Let us know. We also asked members of our texting group about this. John in Harvard said, all the billionaires will leave America if they don't get their tax cuts, so we have to do what we have to do. Sad. And Ann in Urbana said, this will come back to bite them when people in Republican areas start having their health care cut, areas that have benefited most from social services. However, the more I hear about this Republican administration, the more I think that common people might never attribute their pain to its proper source. Again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Judy Crown, I'm going to talk more or start with you and ask you to talk more about the plan that congressional Republicans are exploring.
Sure. So the Republican caucus really came up with a laundry list of different ways that they could cut Medicaid. And one of the first ways to do it is what they call per capita caps. So right now, Medicaid funding is shared between the federal and the state government. In Illinois, it's kind of a half-half proposition, but there's really no limit. So basically, the needs are funded fully. But that could all change once caps come in, because then you're really limiting the amount of care that can be distributed. And then you have to start cutting either benefits or eligibility or payments to providers or some combination of that. But if there are caps, basically things get worse by year. I mean, they cut in year one and then year two, and it really gets worse and worse. And there's no way to accommodate for a pandemic or any kind of, you know, catastrophe or healthcare need. Another piece of this is called the expansion group. So there's a core group of Medicaid recipients, but when the Affordable Care Act was passed under Obama, they expanded Medicaid eligibility to singles without children who hadn't been covered before. And in Illinois, this is about 800,000 people. And the feds funded this very generously at about 90% coverage compared to 50% for the regular group. However, now that's under threat. And Illinois has a trigger law that says if the Medicaid funding goes below 90%, this group is no longer covered. So that's really catastrophic. I mean, that would eliminate coverage for that group of 800,000 people. Of course, Illinois could come back and change things. But as of now, that's where things stand.
Yeah. And the governor's saying that, we heard in that soundbite, no state has the resources to sort of backfill if there are truly significant cuts to that program. At least that's his perspective.
It's billions
now.
Of dollars for yeah. sure. Yeah.
Wesley, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. Just talk broadly about the significance of Medicaid in Illinois.
Yeah, so 3.3 million Illinoisans are on Medicaid. They receive preventive care, primary care, emergency care through that. A lot of people receive their long-term care through Medicaid for a range of conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, HIV, any number of conditions that people need care for, or just even prevention, getting their vaccines, getting well checks, all those things. And so all these people's health care is really at threat if Republicans fail Americans by cutting Medicaid. The basic thing is, you look at all those proposals, all of them are Medicaid cuts. So Medicaid beneficiaries will have reduced healthcare access and thus experience unnecessary and avoidable diseases, injuries, suffering, and deaths. President Donald Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson keep saying that they want to pass a big, beautiful bill, but what they're really promoting is a big, evil bill. There's no better word for it. It is evil to cut people's health insurance coverage. It is evil to let people get sick and die so that billionaires and millionaires can buy yet another house or yacht and see their wealth grow ever more. There's no benefit to the average American to having ever richer billionaires and millionaires. It doesn't help us. So yes, it is evil to prioritize tax cuts for billionaires like Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos over the health and well-being of the 72 million Americans who currently rely on Medicaid. It's evil to try and fund a disgusting operation to deport our friends and neighbors who have come to the United States seeking a better life with those dollars. And that's what Republicans are trying to do. They're trying to fund tax cuts for the wealthy oligarchs, which includes some of these very elected officials. And they're trying to fund deportations of our community members. And I call that evil. I call that cruel. I call that inhumane. Americans aren't going to stand for it.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about potential cuts to the Medicaid program coming from the Congress, specifically the Republicans who control Congress, and what that could mean for Illinois. My guests are Wesley Eplin, who is a policy director with the Health and Medicine Policy Research Group, Judy Crown, a reporter, contributing reporter at Crain's Chicago Business, who's written about this topic, and Nadine Israel, senior vice president of policy and advocacy at AIDS Foundation Chicago. And Nadine, let me bring you into the conversation now, because your organization works closely with people living with HIV. Talk about the importance of Medicaid for your client or patient population.
Absolutely. As I think about this and I think about the folks listening to this program, what I would ask is, if folks can put themselves in the shoes of people on Medicaid right now and what they would do if they lost their health insurance today or tomorrow, what that would mean for them, for their kids, if they have kids, for their parents, for their family members and friends, because that's what we're talking about right now. Medicaid is a health insurance program for people in or near poverty. Wesley shared that it provides life-saving care for millions of people, 3.4 million in Illinois. So as we think about and as we talk about what would happen, I would encourage the listeners to put themselves in those shoes, what they would do, because that's what people on Medicaid are going to be struggling with if the Republicans at the federal level, if the Trump administration are successful in what they're trying to do. Now, when thinking about folks living with HIV, we are talking about in Illinois, 41% of people living with HIV are on Medicaid. So that means their health insurance, their healthcare coverage, their healthcare access is coming through the Medicaid program. That means coverage of HIV treatment, prescription drugs, injectables, accessing doctors, specialists, but also other healthcare needs that they may have. About half of people living with HIV are also living with either a mental health or substance use condition. Medicaid covers those services and those needs so that when a person, if they need that service, they're able to access it. You know, whether it's people living with HIV, people experiencing homelessness, people who are working poor, seniors, children, people living with a disability, these folks are all whole people, just like you and me, and they have whole needs. And the Medicaid program provides that whole coverage throughout the year that they might need. Yanking that away from people in or near poverty to give tax cuts to the ultra wealthy, to Wesley's point, is cruel, it's inhumane, and we're not going to stand for it.
So, Judy Crown, one of the aspects of this discussion has to do with, I think you referenced this briefly earlier, but this idea of a trigger in Illinois law. And this is specifically for that population under the Affordable Care Act expansion, Obamacare, where it was people who do not have children and yet are adults who were not previously eligible for Medicaid. They're also poor, low income, and they... you know, in Illinois is one of the states, and I think a majority have at this point taken this expansion. And the part of the deal was the federal government would pay for it, and then it's kind of scaled that down over time to 90%. But what happens? Can you talk more about this trigger in Illinois law if there are significant cuts to the current structure of how the federal government helps pay for this population?
Right. So right now, it's 90% coverage of this group, as opposed to about 50% of the rest of the Medicaid population. The way the trigger law reads now is, I mean, if it dropped to 89% as opposed to 90%, then Illinois would no longer participate and these folks would not be covered. Now, realistically, Illinois is probably not going to let that happen. We think that they're going to wait and see what happens if this does come to pass, because there's still some hurdles before. I mean, this could die in the Senate. I mean, interest groups, hospital groups, insurance groups may rally and stop all this. So I think rather than Illinois preemptively just do away with the trigger, I think they're just kind of wait and see. The Republicans might want to just drop coverage from 90% to 50%. I mean, which they might say sounds reasonable, but it would cost billions, maybe an estimated at least $3 billion, which again, the state doesn't have because it's in a tight fiscal position. And as the governor said, you know, we just don't have that money lying around. Now, all these other states are in the same position too. And, you know, there are plenty of red states that voted for, that embraced expansion, as well as blue states, states that voted for Kamala Harris. So they have an interest in stopping this and protecting their Medicaid coverage. So there's still some politics to play out here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because I was looking at some numbers from the Center for American Progress. So that's a left-leaning group. Take it for what you will. But they listed the number of constituents per congressional district across the country based on some census data. And there are the three Republican congressional districts in Illinois, the 12th district in Southern Illinois, represented by Congressman Mike Bost. 166,000 people are covered by Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program. Congresswoman Mary Miller's district, almost 145,000 people in her district, and also Darren LaHood, 114,000 in Central Illinois. So there is some bipartisanship here, I guess, Judy, or maybe yet to be seen, I guess, depending on how this shakes out.
Right. I mean, what are the folks in Alabama and Louisiana, the red states, you know, do they agree with this or not? I mean, they're a little more distance from DC and those requirements. So, and you know, the House Republicans have been outspoken, but the Senate's been a little quieter. So we're still waiting to see what goes down in the Senate.
All right, we need to take a break. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking about potential cuts to the Medicaid program and how that could affect Illinoisans. My guests are Judy Crown, a contributing reporter for Crain's Chicago Business, Nadine Israel, Senior Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for AIDS Foundation Chicago, and Wesley Eplin, the Policy Director for Health and Medicine Policy Research Group. You can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. What do you think about cuts to Medicaid, especially if it could affect your healthcare situation? We'd love to hear about it at 800-222-9455. Or maybe you think the idea of government-funded healthcare is a mistake and people ought to figure out their own way to pay for it. Make your case. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. More to come here on the 21st show after a short break. Please stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about potential cuts to the Medicaid program, the program of government health coverage for people who are low income or disabled or in some cases elderly. A significant share, a majority share of the managed care long-term care, nursing home population in Illinois. A significant share of that is paid for through the Medicaid program. And yet Republicans in Congress are eyeing significant cuts to that. So we are talking about what that could mean downstream here in Illinois. My guests are Nadine Israel, Senior Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for AIDS Foundation Chicago, Judy Crown, a contributing reporter at Crain's Chicago Business, who had a cover story on this topic recently, and Wesley Eplin, Policy Director for Health and Medicine Policy Research Group. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. So, Nadine, talk a little more specifically about how AIDS Foundation Chicago could be affected if there were significant rollbacks to the Medicaid program.
Yeah, so here at AFC, we serve about 8,000 people a year, just over 8,000 people a year. We're talking about folks living with HIV, folks who are experiencing homelessness or housing instability. And as I mentioned, when it comes to folks living with HIV in Illinois, about 41% of them have their healthcare coverage through the Medicaid program. When thinking about HIV and how, you know, it's a communicable disease, and being in treatment and staying on treatment, regular treatment, getting labs, seeing the doctor regularly, getting other unmet healthcare needs met, including other chronic health conditions that someone might have, are really, really important to staying healthy and staying undetectable. It's a concept called undetectable equals untransmittable. So as long as somebody is able to stay engaged in care and stay on treatment, they're not able to transmit the HIV virus sexually. So when going back to thinking about Medicaid, and if folks who are living with HIV, folks who are living with other chronic health conditions, they lose access to Medicaid, whether it's because they're part of the Medicaid expansion population that Judy brought up, where they might lose complete access, they lose their coverage completely, or they lose services if the services are cut back or curtailed. That's going to have a direct impact on folks being able to take care of themselves, stay healthy, and stay well, including folks living with HIV. The way HIV works is if you're not in regular treatment, the virus starts multiplying again in your body and increases, and it starts having immediate health impacts on your body. And again, it makes it more likely that you might be transmittable at that point because you're not on regular treatment. And having health insurance, having healthcare access, regular healthcare access, allows folks living with HIV, allows folks experiencing homelessness or housing instability, allows the 60% of people who are on Medicaid who are working to take care of themselves, take care of their families. So we're talking for folks living with HIV for AIDS Foundation Chicago. We're talking thousands of people in Illinois that would be not just negatively impacted. These are going to be life or death situations in many instances, honestly, especially over time.
Wesley Eplin, one of the options being talked about is a work requirement for some people who are covered under Medicaid. What do you think of that?
Work requirements don't work. They've been tried in a couple of states for Medicaid, and they have been abject failures. They don't improve the rates of employment. And as Nadine just mentioned, the majority of Medicaid, people on Medicaid do work. Majority of people who can work, who are Medicaid, work. And what work requirements do is basically, it's a lot of paperwork that's very confusing to recipients and time consuming. And so people who qualify for Medicaid, many people will not be able to jump that hurdle and fill out that paperwork in time and maintain their Medicaid coverage, which, by the way, also worsens their ability to work, because if you have unmet healthcare needs, if you're sick and you have conditions that aren't cared for properly, then it's more difficult for you to seek employment or to remain employed. I think any of us can appreciate that. If you're sick, you don't really feel like working. Everybody needs healthcare at some point, and so these work requirements really, they've failed to work. In Georgia, in 1 year, they spent $40 million managing it. So it's also very costly for government to manage a work requirement administration. And so that's $40 million that could have been spent on healthcare. Instead, it was wasted. So, Republicans like to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse. A work requirement would be a very wasteful way to spend money for states around the country. As I said, it would cut people's access to care. And that's really what we're talking about here. So for your listeners, I think for folks to really appreciate that, you might not be on Medicaid today. Maybe you've never been on Medicaid, but someday you or somebody you care about, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, are going to need Medicaid. And that's what it's there for when people need it, when they don't have coverage through their employer, when they don't have coverage and they qualify for Medicaid, they can apply. And the program provides coverage for healthcare that's life-saving, that helps people remain healthy. And so when that happens, when your listeners themselves, when somebody they care about needs Medicaid, they're going to hope and wish that it were a strong, well-funded program. They're not going to want a measly, bare bones program that the Republicans are proposing to cut it back to. So we should be strengthening Medicaid. We should be investing more into it. We should be expanding coverage. And Republicans are trying to do the opposite. And if folks want to raise this with their congressperson, if they're one of the three Republican districts, Mike Bost, Mary Miller, or Darren LaHood, they can call 866-426-2631. And they can enter their zip code and be patched through to their respective congressperson and let them know that you don't want them to cut Medicaid. Tell them no cuts to Medicaid. If you have a Democratic congressperson, you can thank them for their position and tell them that you stand with them against cuts to Medicaid. So again, that number is 866-426-2631. Folks can call their congressperson, get patched through, and it can be just a very short message. Say who you are, let them know you're a constituent, tell them no cuts to Medicaid.
All right, let's go now to our phone lines, and I will start with Tana in rural Menard County. Hello, Tana. Thank you for calling in.
Hi there. I don't know where to begin. There's so much I can say, but I want to say something that I did find out about contacting legislators. My husband taught me years ago. He was the head of a PACT for a big group in the state, and he taught me to always be polite and never threaten people and so on, but I wanted to update what he told me because I've got a letter writing campaign going on. So I called Senator Durbin's office the other day and last week, and somebody called me back and said the best way to contact people, the phone lines are crashing. The best way is to go to their website, which is Senate, and this is U.S. Senate, and I'll get to the House in a minute, but senate.us.gov. If you have anything that comes after GOV, then you're not getting to the right place. So you want to make sure that it ends in .gov. And then the House of Representatives people are the same thing, and only it's house.us.gov, ending in GOV. And so anyway, and I've got a letter writing campaign I'm going on myself, and one issue per day was recommended also. And there's more I could tell you, but anyway, the reason I called is I took care of my husband. Had a stroke in 2017. He was bedbound here at home for 6.5 years. Oh, I took care of him pretty much by myself. I had two dear neighbors, Kevin and Alicia, who stepped in when COVID happened and started getting groceries for us and stuff. We had two sons that helped us locally, but they were both disabled too, so it was hard for them. So anyway, the thing that I found is, and I was prepared all my life to take care of David. I'm considerably older than he was, by most people's standards. I was 18 years and 9 months older than him, but we were married almost 52 years before he died. Sorry, my phone went off. And so it's really very, and now I'm going to be 79 this summer. So I am at the point now, if I still had his care, I would be able to do it. I would do it, and I would want to do it. I would do it. But it would be a little bit more taxing for me now. But sure. The thing of it is that people don't realize is most people have to, you know, when we think about taking care of our loved ones at home, most of us don't have the family, physical resources, people, other people to help us for 24/7, 365 care. For a loved one, and so
they'll need that. They'll need that.
They'll absolutely need that. So anyway,
Tana, thank you so much.
There's a lot more I could say. I really appreciate you taking my comments.
And I'm sorry about your loss, and thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. I appreciate that. Let's also hear from Terry, calling from Melbourne, Florida, on line 3. Terry, thank you for calling.
I would just like to point out that even if one isn't on Medicaid or it doesn't even know anybody that's on it, they are still affected because many of the Medicaid people, if they are cut off, they're going to end up going to emergency rooms. They won't be able to pay, and believe you me, the hospitals will figure out a way to ultimately get their money, and it'll probably be through increasing insurance rates for everybody else. So what this becomes is just a very significant tax on lower and middle class people who do have insurance. And the other disadvantage of it, people that have to use emergency rooms often are not going to get the preventive care and the other things that would ultimately keep their medical bills lower. So that's my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. You know, Judy Crown, maybe you can speak to that, to the importance of Medicaid to funding the broader healthcare system in our state. So many hospitals, this is a big share of their income.
Absolutely. There are, you know, more than dozens of, you know, safety net hospitals, and they are dependent on Medicaid. Sometimes it's half, three quarters, 80% of their funding. We interviewed the Sinai system, and they only have about 10% of their funding comes from traditional commercial insurance. So they are very dependent on Medicaid to cover. And as they point out, they already operate on a shoestring. These hospitals are not wealthy. They don't have the top equipment. And it's hard for them to fundraise because where does a lot of the fundraising go? It goes back to some of the wealthiest hospitals. So this is very threatening to clinics as well as the safety net hospitals.
Yeah, can I chime in on that?
Sure, briefly, go ahead. Yeah.
I grew up in rural Southern Illinois, and, you know, hospitals might be 30 to 60 minutes between each other. If you start to see some of those hospitals close because they've gotten their budgets cut, because they're, you know, it's more financial pressure on them when their Medicaid payments are reduced and cut, then you're going to see more closures and people will have an even longer drive. Everybody and people who rely on those who aren't on Medicaid and rely on those hospitals, they're going to have a longer drive. And you know, when we have longer drives for emergency care, you know, people end up dying because they can't get to the hospital fast enough. So this is going to affect everybody. And hospitals also are just, they're big employers. So you have all these potential job losses as well. So this is going to affect entire communities.
Let me just try to, and we only have a few minutes left here, and I want to kind of just steel man the case for these cuts and let you respond to that briefly. But, you know, the American people, in their wisdom, they elected Donald Trump at a Republican Congress. Those groups have been clear about their desire to reduce federal spending. And, you know, you can fire every park ranger and it's not, you know, it's a drop in the bucket compared to Medicare and Medicaid. Healthcare and defense spending are the real only ways to make significant cuts in the federal budget. So Nadine, I'll start with you. What do you say to that? Isn't this what the people voted for?
I don't believe this is what the people voted for, honestly. Even regardless if they were Democrat or Republican, they did not vote for their healthcare and the healthcare of their neighbors and their family and their friends to be taken away. They did not vote for their clinics, their hospitals to be shut down. They did not vote for, when it comes time to taking care of their elderly parents and needing nursing home care, two-thirds of elderly folks are going to need that when they get to that point. They did not vote for that. I don't believe that. I do not. I believe that folks have different values and different interests and needs. I do not believe that most of the American population, most Illinoisans, voted for their healthcare of their family and friends and neighbors to be taken away. I'll give a quick, also just personal experience that happened in my family recently. So
just about,
I have
a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
A baby, and this is not a family member who's on Medicaid, but it's to illustrate a point. I have a baby in my family who recently had open heart surgery. I actually just got a text in this program about how much at the end that surgery ended up costing, a little under $200,000. Oh my. And my family member said, thank God for health insurance, because they didn't have to pay a dollar. They had an HMO. Now imagine if my family member, that baby, that 5-month-old baby that needed the heart surgery, needed Medicaid, was on Medicaid. If they didn't have Medicaid, they would not be able to have the surgery and they would have passed away. That's what we're talking about here. We are talking about real life impact.
Nadine Israel is Senior Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for AIDS Foundation Chicago. Wesley Eplin is the Policy Director for Health and Medicine Policy Research Group. And Judy Crown is a contributing reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Thank you all for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it for that topic. Coming up after the break, we are going to be turning to taxes, speaking of how to fund our government and keep the government doing what it does. Tax season is upon us. There are some changes in store this year, particularly here in Illinois. We're going to talk about that after a short break. If you have questions, don't wait. 800-222-9455. This will be a fast-moving segment. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.